Welcome to Mike and Steve, a podcast in which Mike Carson and Steve Henry interview everyone who graduated in 1994 from Ohio's Cuyahoga Falls High School, one classmate at a time. Today's guest is Becky Coughlin.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again for another episode. Really excited today to have Becky Pesek, Becky Coughlin, right?
Coughlin.
Coughlin.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Nope. Sorry, everybody.
I should have asked that. Like that. I should have asked before. Anyway, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited. Excited to talk to you guys.
So yeah, the first thing we usually do is Steve reads from the yearbook.
Okay, I can't wait to hear.
All right, so we'll start with the things you did. You had to list the different years and the things you were involved in.
Okay.
This is an interesting list. There's one thing I'm very curious about. Okay, so basketball, all 4 years.
Yeah.
And volleyball, all 4 years.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I remember most about you is sports.
Sports, yeah.
Being pretty sporty, active, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Spanish club, I didn't know.
Oh, 9, yeah.
10th, 11th, and 12th.
Forgot about that. Forgot about Spanish.
Would Wait, you like what did to you do say? The rest of the interview in Spanish?
No. Yeah, right. You know what? You would think, I'm pretty sure I took like all 4 years of Spanish and you would think I should be like fluent after that. And I can't remember. I mean, a few words here and there. Hola, me llamo Becky.
Hey, tal.
Bueno.
Pretty much it.
Muy bueno.
I don't even remember how to say how are you. Yeah.
Como esta.
Como yeah. Está? Muy bien. Me too. That's pretty much it, guys. That's all I got.
I took 4 years of Spanish also, but I don't even remember like being asked if I could be in the club. Maybe like I didn't even know how you could even join the club. I don't remember.
I have no recollection of that. So I mean, I can't imagine that I was very active in it or that we did too much. I don't know.
Do you remember a meeting?
I have like a really horrible memory, actually. I'm probably going to end up getting like Alzheimer's or something. I mean, I shouldn't say that because I work with Alzheimer's patients, but yeah, I really you remember Stacy, my friend Stacy.
Yeah.
Lawrence. She like remembers way more than I do. Like people bring things up or even like, you know, people that were like a grade younger than me that I had kept in touch with over the years. Like, they'll be like, do you remember when blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you even remember that? Like, yeah, I just have I think I blocked out a lot of high school.
Yeah, me too.
That's horrible. So
we've had people on this podcast who have told stories that like I was supposedly at there and I have no recollection. Like same thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember that happening. I think you maybe had me confused with someone else. No, it was definitely you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's so funny. The different things that people remember, you know. Yeah.
Well, okay. Should I go on?
Go yes. on. I would like to hear this. Yes.
National Honor Society, 11th and 12th.
Okay.
And then something called Y2Y, 10th, 11th, and 12th. And I don't know what that is. Y2Y.
Was that youth to youth, maybe?
Oh, like youth to youth. That sounds familiar to me. But I still don't know what it is. Youth to youth.
Yeah. What is youth to youth?
Great question, guys. I don't know. You know, I'm just start, like Googling things over here on my phone. You're like, I can find anything on Google.
I'm gonna consulting the yearbook for Y2Y.
I'm pretty sure it was youth to youth, and that sounds very familiar. I just have no clue what we did in that group.
There isn't an adequate index in this book, so I can't really.
I don't think anybody else we've interviewed has had that, have they, yeah. Steve?
And that's the first youth to youth that I remember. Definitely.
Wow.
I'm gonna
Years? All the years? How many years? Where it was Becky and
Y2Y? Y2Y was 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Wow. Almost as long as Spanish book. Yeah, I have. Let me see if I can, like, are you finding anything about that?
I'm just going to flip through. I was hoping there's a table of contents in this book, but there isn't.
I don't see anything about Y2Y.
Homecoming, annual play. I remember the name.
Stage, I mean, maybe it was like a, I mean, I would have to say it had something to do with like working with maybe younger kids in the sports. You know what I mean? Like helping out with camps. Maybe I remember helping out with like camps, like basketball camps and stuff like that for the younger kids.
Yeah, there's a Summit County Youth to Youth. Promoting healthy and drug-free decision-making while providing a welcoming and accepting environment.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You guys, I told you, I think I just joined stuff to join stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what you do. I mean, that's a smart thing to do for like college and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Got to build up that resume.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even do that. I knew that was the right thing to do, but I still just couldn't join the stuff. But
you know, yeah, I probably just like had a hard time telling people no. I was more like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. What else, Steve? What else?
All right. There's more. Student Council, 11th and 12th.
Mm-hmm, I remember that. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Student Council was fun.
Yeah.
What? Was Steve surprised that? Yeah. What did you do in Student Council?
Gosh, we just like messed around in that class. That was like a free class, man.
Really? I thought you're in there making decisions about the budget
stuff in there, and I mean it was kind of a joke, but no, it was fun. It was really fun. You know, we planned all the like dances and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Yeah. Good times. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, Amanda Wazalowski was in something that she was planning dances too. So, but that wasn't that.
Maybe it was.
Anyway.
She's a home room rep.
That's not
Tiger Backers. It was Tiger Backers.
Tiger Backers.
I don't remember half this stuff.
Lots of dances. Small school.
I should have studied our yearbook before this.
Yeah, we should have a cheat sheet. You might want to study up on these things.
I know.
Just like a reference guide. Why do I youth to youth?
Yeah,
you were in it.
I'm totally gonna look that up now after this call.
The running joke for a while, like we had like five podcast guests in a row who were homeroom reps, and everyone was like, none of them remember that. Homeroom rep, what do you do?
Did you ever find out like what that?
No, every single one of them was like, I don't remember doing anything with that at all.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
You have to go to Student Council and represent our homeroom, please. Right. We need more pencils.
Oh my god.
I don't know. Okay, here's another one I don't recognize. FCA, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
FCA.
Oh, I know what that is. That's come up before.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Exactly.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes, yeah. And our basketball coach Tom Jones was headed that up. So like we would meet once a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Before school. Yeah.
I think Shannon Bertram was in that and she brought it up.
Okay.
I remember talking to her about that one.
Yeah.
Okay. And then finally Rotary Scholar, all 4 years.
Wow.
What's a Rotary Scholar? I don't even know what that is.
These are smart.
Wow, the yearbook's making me sound a lot like smarter than I think I was. No. I don't even know. What is a Rotary Scholar?
I think you had a certain grade point average or something.
Oh, okay. I mean, I had a decent grade point average. You know, I mean, I was like probably like 3.5 and above, I'm guessing. Yeah. Something like that.
Was anybody else we interviewed Rotary Scholar? I don't remember that coming up. Must be, maybe it's more rare. Like, you really, not only did you have to have good grades, you also had to.
Rotary. You know, I'm Googling all this, right? Rotary.
Yeah, it must be more than the grade point average, because I'm sort of looking through. I see a lot of.
You do see a lot? Okay.
I see a lot of people. I don't see it showing up very much in the yearbook.
Oh, wait a second. Did I get, was that like a, oh, I think I got, it was like a scholarship. Yeah. I got that scholarship.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was just like a, I don't even remember how much it was, but
it was for a college?
Yeah. I was like shocked that I got it. I was like, wow. Let's see.
Here, I'll out all the Rotary Scholars. Brooke Addy, Kyle Bailey.
Okay. Huh.
Josh Baird.
Zach Baird.
See, there you go.
John Banham.
Okay, Steve. Okay. You got it.
All right. Okay. Sorry. I'm a little obsessed because I don't know what it is. All right.
Cool. So you were involved. You were really involved. You were into the sports. You did well in school. What was high school like for you?
You know, I think that the way that I remember it is I pretty much just, I enjoyed playing sports. I had like my group of friends, but I was always very self-conscious in high school. So I kept my group of friends small. Like I had, you know, my like really, like Stacy was my best friend since middle school. She still is, you know, even though she lives in North Carolina. But I was not like, I never felt like I was really very social. I was just kind of, you know, just wanted to be nice to everybody and, you know, just kind of did my thing. I don't know. I didn't really want to be seen. I was kind of like, you know, I loved playing sports and I liked the competition and I liked the camaraderie of all of that. Loved my teammates but I was never one to want to like stand out, I guess. So yeah, I don't know. It was, I was happy when I graduated. I was like, get me out of here.
So you didn't love school?
I didn't love school. Okay. You know, I loved like the friendships that I developed. But I think I always felt like it was really hard for me to like be myself. Yeah. You know, I was always just very like self-conscious, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which, you know, I think that is probably a normal thing for a lot of kids in high school. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe some people like really didn't care.
You know, it's interesting talking with people because like some people hated school, some people loved school.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, like the different, and then once you talk to them, you start to really realize the reasons why some of these things, it seems like it's probably pretty common, more common than like having a strong hatred or strong really liking it is probably like what what it sounds like you is like, it's okay, yeah, but you didn't love it or anything like
that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely didn't hate it, you know, like there were things that made it better, you know, like playing the sports and having, you know, my teammates and friends and stuff like that. But yeah, that kind of helped me, you know, get through everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So could you give us a brief timeline of events in your life since high school?
Sure. So let's see. I went to University of Akron right after, just commuted. I was 19 when I got pregnant. So I became a single mom at the age of 20. I took some time off school after that and tried to go back to Stark Technical School when Tristan was like, I don't know, how old was he? One. And I was like working third shift at Giant Eagle, trying to go to school during the day, you know, taking him to daycare. I was still living at home. It was rough. So, you know, I was like the kind of mom that I need like a normal, like 9-to-5 job, you know? So I ended up going through it like a temp agency and just kind of getting some computer skills and that type of thing through them. I got a job with a company called Sarcom. And at the time they were working on like the Y2K, remember the Y2K
yeah.
projects? And like your computer's gonna like, everything's gonna explode when it's the year 2000. We have to make it Y2K compliant. And so they were doing that for all the bank ones, and they needed like an administrative assistant for this temp job, this temporary job. So I got a job doing that, and that's where I met my now husband. So like that job finished and we got married. I ended up becoming a stay-at-home mom, having two more little girls. I also have he had a son as well. So it was like a his, mine, and ours type of thing. So two boys, two girls. I was a stay-at-home mom for years. Up until, I'm trying to think, well, like maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah. I went back to school when the kids got older. And I mean, like my life's been pretty like, you know, status quo, nothing too exciting, but I went back to school. I became an occupational therapy assistant and I've been doing that for the past 6 years. So working in a nursing facility with the geriatric population for the most part. And I love them. They're pretty freaking awesome. They just say whatever's on their mind, you know. they could give two shits what anybody thinks. And they're just like, I love it. They're freaking hilarious and they're crabby and cranky and they're just fun, you know. It's just fun to like, yeah.
I aspire to that someday.
Right,
just licensed to be myself.
Yes,
I'm always really like, on my mind.
I know. I'm like, I cannot wait until I get to that day where I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, I really don't care what anybody thinks or says. Like, yeah.
I feel like we're getting more and more. I mean, as you get older, it's like, what does it matter?
Right,
like, I'll say whatever the hell. You know,
exactly.
Like, and when you get to that age, it's like, yeah, what the hell does it matter what I say? It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
I know. It really doesn't. Yeah. I have, well, I have a lot of like dementia patients too, and they really do not care. They just, yeah, that's the most interesting population to work with. So definitely have a heart for them. Love them.
Yeah.
Are you in Ohio?
I'm in Ohio. Yeah. We live in Brunswick. We lived in Parma Heights for like a few years, maybe like 5 years, 5 or 6 years, and then moved to Brunswick. That's where my husband's family lives for the most part. You know, his son actually lived here with his mom, and it was just easier to, you know, do the visitation and all that kind of stuff in the weekends instead of traveling back and forth. And yeah, so it was kind of nice because the kids got to grow up with their cousins and they have a like really close knit family. So yeah, it's been nice having them close. You know?
So your kids are grown now?
My kids are grown. Yep. My youngest is 21, Trinity. And then we've got Skylar, who's 23. Tristan is 26, gonna be 27 here in July. And then Max is 31 and has two little boys, two babies. So I'm technically a grandma, which is so fun to say.
Only and technically, though.
I really love to tell people that I'm a grandma because they're just like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. Grandma. Awesome. Call me granny. It's fun. I love having like a relationship with my adult children because it's so different. You know, I took motherhood so seriously and was always like almost too seriously. You know, I kind of wish I could have relaxed a little bit more. And but you know, with them being grown, it's like I don't have to worry about like things that I say as much, you know, because they're all just, I mean, they all have potty mouths and, you know, like it's funny because my husband's still a little old fashioned in that, you know, you don't cuss around your parents, you know, which is funny because like, I don't really cuss in front of my parents. And I mean, like nothing really bad, but I don't care if my kids do. I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know, I mean, they're not like horrible, but it's just fun. And we have like really great, you know, really great conversations that are just, I don't know. I get to know them as people, you know, and they get to know me as a person instead of just mom. So we just got back from Ireland actually on Tuesday. So we went to Ireland with just the two girls and my brother-in-law and his two girls. So that was a fun time. That was a really fun time. Yeah.
Cool. How long were you there?
We were just there a week. Okay. We were just there a week. My husband was actually overseas for the 7 weeks prior to that. Uh-huh. And so we met him out there. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, I was just there for a week with them. It was a good time. It was beautiful there.
Yeah, cool.
Yes. So I'm almost empty nester. The boys are both married and, you know, Tristan lives in South Carolina. Max still lives like in the area. And then Trinity, my youngest, is getting ready to move out like within the next couple of days. So it's just going to be Skylar left here.
Wow.
Which, yeah, she'll probably love that.
Whole place to herself.
I know. Yeah. Yep. So that's, I don't know. That's pretty much it. I'm trying to think. Yeah. That's my life. It's pretty boring.
Well, what about the bodybuilding stuff? tell us about this. Like, you're a champ, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I went through like this. All right. So I'll tell you how like it started. So, you know, it started off like as, you know, when the kids are like in like the middle ages, right? Like they start getting busy with all their sports and all that kind of stuff. And like, they don't drive yet. So you're doing everything for them, right? You're driving them everywhere. You're, you know, dealing with whatever, school lunches and schedules and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I of course put myself on the back burner, like most moms do. And I should say parents do. I shouldn't say just moms, because I mean like dads too. You know what I mean? Dads like probably go through the same thing where they're just like, I'm just trying to work and support my family, you know? But I just kind of like got to this point where I was like, I'm a middle-aged mom, I'm married, doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. And then I woke up one day and the kids were older and I was like, oh God, I do not feel good about myself at all. Like I used to work out all the time, you know, when the kids were little, and I, you know, kept myself like in shape and I felt good, and I just did not feel good about myself. And so, you know, I would always see, I had a friend actually that lives in this neighborhood who is a bodybuilder, and she competes in figure. And, you know, she had helped me like, you know, kind of get back on track with my eating habits and working out and stuff like that. And she was like, she's like, yeah, Becky, you could totally do it, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was like, yeah, I don't know. But I had always wondered, because, you know, I used to work out like very consistently when the kids were really little. And, but I'm like, I never looked like that. Like how in the world do they get to looking like that? Like, what does it actually take? So I was just curious, like, what does it take? So I'm like, you know, well, maybe I'll hire somebody and I'll train as though I'm going to compete, but not really compete, you know, not step on stage, just because I want like to see what it takes. Uh-huh. And so I started doing that and I started seeing results, and I was like, you know, maybe I can do this. And started looking at
nice special delivery.
Cheers. For those that can't see, my husband just brought me a glass of wine.
I'm gonna try to see if I can order one of those.
He drank 3/4 of it already. He's like, this is the last of it.
Hold on. Can we discuss the wine a little bit?
Let's discuss the wine.
He just walked in and just handed it to you without a word.
Yes, like, that is my husband.
Like he just knew.
That is
like tough. You have like a rapport that, like, there's like, that was amazing.
He just
walked in quietly.
Yes.
Silently. Here's a glass of wine. He gave you a glass of wine and then walked away.
Yeah. He literally like would do anything for me. Like he gives me the best bite of all his meals. He'll be like, yeah. Oh my gosh. You know how like if you're eating a sandwich or you're eating like a steak, or if you're eating, you know how there's like a best bite and you're like,
yeah,
this right here, this is gonna be the best bite. And he'll be like, here, I'm giving you the best bite, you know. So yeah, he's been pretty amazing and supportive, and you know, has always been supportive of me. So no matter what I wanted to do, even though I like have changed my mind 50 billion times as to what I want to do in life. So, and I still don't know. I'm like, you know, I go to work one day and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's try something else.
Every day.
Right? I'm like, I'm bored with this. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. But, so yeah, I mean, getting back to answer your question about the bodybuilding really quick, I'll try to like shorten it up a little. So basically, like, at one point I had Googled, because my coach was like, you know, you would be, your body type would be best for the bikini division. And I was like, oh, okay, what's that? You know, I go online, I go on YouTube and I start watching this stuff. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was like, there's no way in hell that I can do that. I'm like, those girls are like confident and they're walking out there in like hardly anything. Okay, let's be honest. And yeah, like there's no way I can do that. So I chickened out and I was like, no way, I'm not doing this. And I quit. I just like quit. I'm like, forget about it. And then I got like really mad at myself. Like a couple months later, I was like, why did I do that? Why did I quit just because I'm afraid to do something that I've never done before, you know? So that's when I was like, I hired a different coach that I had heard about. And that's when I was like all in. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this to say I did it. Like, I just want to do it once to say I did it. And so I did. And it was a pretty crazy experience. It was pretty amazing. And I took some time off after that. I mean, obviously it was my first time competing. I didn't do great, you know? And I took some time after that and, you know, in my building phase in the off season and just took my time and was like supposed to compete in the spring of, what are we in, 2023? I was supposed to compete in the spring of 2022. And I was like, no, I'm not ready. Like my mind was not there. Like I mentally was not there. I was like, I need a break from like tracking my food. I need a break from thinking about this because it's so mentally exhausting. Like, and it can be like really lonely, actually. It can be, it like consumes your life. It really does. I mean, you get down to prep and you're like doing, you know, so much freaking cardio on top of your weight training. Your calories are down. So you're like freaking tired all the time and it's tough. Yeah, it is tough. So yeah, I took some time off and ended up doing another show in April, this past April, and still did not place as well as I wanted to, or as well as I thought I was going to, which was a little disappointing, but that's okay. I was really happy with the progress that I made. So, you know, they always say it's, you know, you versus you in this sport. And it's really true because you can't like, you can't sit there and compare yourself to other people because everybody looks great. Everybody's like worked so freaking hard. And so I was just really happy with like the muscle that I put on and, you know, and then afterwards I was supposed to, I got a little bit of a diet break for like a couple weeks, went right back into it. And I was supposed to compete again. Did I say July that I competed in July? I didn't mean July.
I think you said April.
No, I said April. Okay. Cause I was supposed to compete again in July, like this July. And, after like that diet break, he put me back on, you know, in prep to try to get even leaner. And I was like, dude, I am freaking wasting away. I feel dead inside. I just want food, you know? So I just realized at that point, there were other things in my life that I really wanted to focus on. And I wanted to focus more on like my mental health and just feeling good, you know, cause my body was just, it was just rickety. It just felt rickety. You know what I mean? I don't really know how to describe it, but, you know, I was just always felt like tight and sore and, I just needed time to recover from that and just realized, listen, there's a lot of people that make this their job and they are great at it and they're very passionate about it. And that's fantastic. But there's just other things that, you know, I want to be able to enjoy time with my family and time with my parents, yeah. my grandma who's still alive at the age of 96, you know, and like be mentally present. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, pretty cool. So what you've only been into this bodybuilding for a few years then, is that?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really amazing that you in your 40s you did that. That's awesome. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Because it's inspiring. It's inspiring for me because it's like, man, maybe I'm not too old to do something. Maybe I can.
Yeah,
do something.
No, not at all. And I tell people like you're never too old to start like working out. You know, it's just you have to start where you're at. And but it like I said, I mean, like for me now, it's more about like especially since I work in the therapy department, and I see what it's like when you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I always hear from people, I never thought I would be in this position. I never thought this would be me, you know? So I don't know. I just like, it's like all about being able to live your life to the fullest for as long as you can, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and also it's impressive, you know, being so dedicated to that. I mean, I know it must be like insanely, I mean, it's hard not to eat good, yummy food, you know?
yeah.
And it's right? also hard to put in the hours of exercise. I'm sure you had to put in hours in a day, probably like a lot. So like, that's really impressive. You took that dedication to do this.
Yeah. You definitely feel very selfish, you know, during that time, during prep, and you need to have a good support system. And of course, you know, I had a great support system, but I mean, the one thing it did teach me that I can carry with me is like, number one, it gave me so much confidence that like, if I can do this at this age, it's like, okay, well, let's pick something else. What else do I have a passion for? I can do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I can like overcome that fear of getting in front of all of these people and, you know, because really the prep and all of that, I don't want to say it's the fun part. It's prep's not that fun, but like off season, you know, I like the journey more than like the destination. You know, more than like stepping on stage, you know what I mean? Getting all like whatever, because you're literally on stage for like 2 minutes and it's over. You're like, all righty then. I just put in like however many hours and then it's over. But yes, it definitely, it taught me a lot about, you know, nutrition and I've had to learn to overcome, you know, the whole like body dysmorphia thing. Like it can be a complete mind fuck because you see you see like what you're capable of and what your body's capable of looking like, but that's not sustainable. That's not normal. You know what I mean? Like that is not normal and it's not healthy. It's just like people train for that one day. And then you have to reverse diet because you can't stay in that calorie deficit. I mean, like, it's just, you know, it just messes with your hormones. It messes with everything. So it's like having to like put on, you know, weight after that is a necessary thing. And so I've really learned to like love my body wherever it's at, you know what I mean? And whatever stage it's in. It's very liberating. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
I got rolls and stretch marks and whatever else. God knows what else going on over here. You know, cellulite, you know, it's like
part of the process.
Like, who cares? You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's especially important now that we are getting close to 50. I mean, like I you start to notice like things like sagging and stuff, like you're like, mm-hmm. God, this, yeah, it's like, it's not going to get better.
That's just the thing, is like, okay, people, we're all going to get old. It is inevitable. It doesn't matter like how much Botox you stick into your face or wherever, and you, how much plastic surgery, it doesn't matter. Like, we're all going to get to that point. So that's why, I've kind of, my focus has kind of shifted to just being healthy and, being able to do the things that I love for as long as I can. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
You ever run into Keith Nellman?
You know what? No, I did not run into him at any events, but it's funny because I messaged him because I saw that he did the same thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, so I was like asking him questions, and you're just kind of like talking back and forth about it, because it really is like a, people that have not done it, like some people are like, why do you do that to yourself? You know what I mean? It can be hard for others to understand, like even family members, and you get comments from people like, I mean, gosh, even my patients were like, eat a freaking sandwich. You know what I mean? They're like, you look like you just came out of concentration camp. Like, I actually had a patient tell me that. And I was like,
they say whatever they're thinking.
I'm like, I promise that I will not look like this in a month. You know what I mean? But yeah, I did talk to him about that, just messaged back and forth a couple times. So, which was pretty cool. I love that he did that. I was just like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
He said, I think we had him on here. I think he said he got into it because he had to stop running.
Okay.
An injury. And so it was like a thing he could do because he had this drive to, he has like this sort of athletic compulsion to compete and better himself that way. So it was something he was able to do.
Yeah.
So what, you didn't know, and then you just ran into him randomly and you're like, oh.
No, I saw on Facebook. I saw like that he had competed. I saw like pictures, I mean? Okay. On Facebook that he had competed, and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's awesome, So I had messaged him and I was like, hey, I'm getting ready to compete, blah, blah, blah. I actually don't even remember like what we said, but it was just a couple back and forths. And
awesome.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
So what have been some defining moments in your life or struggles that you've overcome?
Well, for me personally, I think that it was sort of like, how you guys were talking about like I think it was before you started recording and I asked you, how you got into doing this podcast, and you're talking about how, you discovered that middle-aged men don't reach out and talk to, people that they've been friends with or whatever. They just, so you need something to like an activity, something to do to bring you together to, for me, my middle-aged thing was, as a stay-at-home mom, I really feel like I lost my identity. I didn't even realize that I was putting everybody else first. And by that, I mean, like, not just activities and daily living and whatever, like even just emotions, right? Even just like, I want to make sure everybody else is feeling okay. I want to make sure that, everybody else is happy, right? That my kids are happy, that my husband's happy, and that that I just really did not take care of myself and did not nurture the things that bring me joy and that, give me purpose. I mean, obviously there was that time where motherhood was my purpose, and I loved it. Like I loved being a mom. I still love being a mom, but you know, I'm still just a person too. You know what I mean? And I had a life before kids, right? So, so there was, I felt really, really lost for a while. I mean, it's taken years, to really get to the point that I'm at. And I feel like right now I'm sort of at like this kind of pivot point, like where I'm okay. Like I'm really starting to like embrace and explore and, I don't know, I guess I'm learning how to really be like truly authentic and not really worry about what other people think, you know what I mean? Including my family, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, really, because, you know, I mean, that's just the kind of person, like the personality that I have is just like, okay, well, you know, do you care if I do this or do you care if I do that? Like, you know, cause again, I'm a nurturer. It's like, I want to put everybody else first. And so it's been really hard for me to like learn how to, you know, put myself first, I guess. And, so yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting transition from, you know, like being a full-time mom to, going back to work, and then the kids are out of the house and older and everybody's doing their own thing. And I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you know, it's, I've had to really, like, there were times when, like I said, my husband was gone for like 7 weeks in Europe, and there, and like, I would be in the house with my dog, you know, be like me and Charlie. Isn't that a song? Me and Charlie talking, just me and Charlie talking. I'd be like, just you and me, Charlie. And it was just, you know, I had like these very intense feelings of loneliness. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is horrible, you know, that I had to deal with. And I had to learn to just be comfortable just being with me. You know what I mean? So that's been a really huge process for me. And it's been very enlightening. So it's really, I don't know, gotten to know myself a little bit better over the past year or so.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, you became a mother so young that like, yeah. It seems like you probably just were like, well, you were a kid and then suddenly you're a mom, and then you were probably a mom for so long that, yeah, you I could see how that, something like that would, I think with a lot, like my mom too, similar things, you know, they're, you know, they're really, and my wife too, you know, like they give up everything for the yeah. family and the kids and stuff. And then,
yeah,
once that's, you know, out of the house or gone or something, I can see how that would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Been a fun journey.
It's probably good that you're starting, like you're ahead of the game a little, because you're not completely empty nester.
Right.
Like some people really lose it.
Yeah.
Like, kids move out and then they just like lose it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Don't know what to do. But I think you're right. Like you've identified it as a thing.
Yes.
That you need to concentrate on a little bit. And
yes. So. That's good. Yes, definitely. I am not like, you know, I mean, like I've been to therapy. I've been, you know, I mean, like, you know, I haven't had like a perfect life, but I have not had a horrible life. You know, I haven't had any tragedies. I haven't had to deal with, you know, but yeah, it's just kind of like the normal, like phases of life that everybody goes through, you know? Mm-hmm. So Yeah,
this is a, I'm glad we did this podcast now, because this age, you know, I feel like is a interesting age for a lot of people. Like we're about, you know, we're getting to 50.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was like, oh my God, I am closer to 50 than I am to 40 now. I'm like, when did that happen? Yeah. But, you know, do you guys ever feel like, just because you're like one of the intrusive thoughts that I've had to like fight off is this whole, like, I'm too old to do this thing. You know what I mean? Whatever it may be. And I'm like, screw that, man. I could live to be freaking 100 years old. I got 50 more years. I got half my life left. Like, what else can I do? You know, what else can I do? So I don't know. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like,
I totally feel that. And that's why I think your story is awesome and inspiring, because it's like, look, you know, you did all that in your 40s. It's awesome. And we had another guest, Derek Wilkinson, who he was like, he had never done jujitsu or whatever. And then in his 40s, he became a double black belt.
That's fantastic. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, we got to do something, man. What are we?
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about this. Like Becky, you're an inspiration, because I feel like I am too old. Like even listening to you, I'm like, nah, she can do that stuff. Yeah. I cannot. I am too old to do anything different than what I do.
You're not, though.
And I think Mike and I were talking about, like, yeah, we're reaching. I remember this discussion with Mike where we're like, yeah, we've reached the age where you realize it's hard, because you realize you're not going to do all the things that you thought you might. And I guess maybe you can't do all the things. You're never going to do all the things.
No, but
maybe you can do something.
I was going to say, like, I would totally make a list of like all of the things that you want to do. Right. And maybe you can't do them all at once. That's impossible. Right. But break it down and at least try it all. Yeah. Just try it all at one point in time. Like, I have a list of things that I'm like, all right, this is what's next for me within this, in this coming year, you know? But yeah, it's, you know, we have a tendency to kind of like put limits on ourselves, you know, because of whatever age, or maybe we aren't confident enough, and we don't think we're going to be good enough, or we think we're going to like fail at this or whatever. But, you know, I always hear you're never going to regret trying something. And if you fail, right? Even if you fail, you're not going to regret it. You'll regret never having done it at all, or never trying it to begin with.
So, yeah. And you know what, like, what I think about sometimes too is like that we have classmates who passed away, you know, and like, like, we haven't passed away. Like, we owe it to them, kind of, in a way, to do the things that they'll never have the chance to do. So,
right. Exactly.
But thanks. Thank you for opening up and, you know, talking about that stuff. Really appreciate it. And, should we do this thing, Steve? Make the sound with your mouth.
Oh my God. Wait, let me drink more wine. Let me chug my wine first. No.
You better chug. I should chug something also.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I forgot to show
you. I'm going to be so horrible at this, but that's okay. I will participate. I will participate.
Everyone is my best. Almost everyone is horrible except the mayor of Cuyahoga Falls. He's not too bad.
He was very good. He took it very seriously. I forgot to show you these photos. Here you are at the twerp dance, I think, in some kind of costume.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, I don't know, like hippie. Whatever.
They're quoting Ted Kortler. He loved the twerp dance because Woodstock is a great theme for fun. Oh, it was a Woodstock theme.
Woodstock theme, that's right. Yeah. I remember that.
And then here's an awesome picture of you and Stacy.
Oh, the proficiency test. Oh my gosh.
Matching shirts that say, I finally passed my proficiency test, spelled wrong a few times.
I love it. Oh, my friend.
Yeah. You look so happy. It's a great picture. In the senior year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So I need to pull up the sound, right?
Pull up the sound machine.
Okay. Give me a minute.
Okay.
So Steve's going to play a sound and then I will try to make the sound using my mouth only. And then after I do that, he'll play the sound again and then you can go.
God, okay.
And then Steve will go last and whoever does it best is the winner.
Wait, do I win a prize if I win? Listen, I'm used to getting trophies.
Oh, look at that. Nice. Wow.
That's for fourth place.
Wow.
But you know what the funny thing is, you guys? There was only four people in my class and I still got a trophy for fourth place.
Nice.
You know, yeah, you don't have to tell people that.
That's one.
I know I don't, but I think it's so funny that I have to, because I'm just like, okay, my last trophy, guys. I'm putting it in my husband put it on my desk right in the front window, like for everybody to see. Look, there's our trophy.
That's fun.
All right. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, give me a
Steve accidentally stopped the recording.
Yeah, but I started again. We're good.
Okay.
My bad. I hit some weird button. Okay.
Make it an easy one, okay, Steve?
I actually don't even know what it's going to sound like. Usually I'm more prepared.
Oh, you don't? Oh.
Yeah, so I'm just going to guess one of these sounds that look interesting. Okay, are we ready?
We're ready.
Let's try this one.
That's gonna be good.
Okay.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or do you want to do a different one?
No. That one's good. I like that one. All right. Let's stick with that
one. Wow, you feel confident with that one, man.
We got a strategy here.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
I'll try to do this one. Okay.
You got this, Mike.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
I'm cheering you on.
Oh, man. Oh, that was horrible. I knew
that was not your best work. It really, really wasn't.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was funny. Okay.
Okay, you want to hear it again?
You kind of sounded like a rooster when you did that.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to hear it again before I do it. Okay.
All right. What? Sorry. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let me do that. Okay, ready. Here we go.
Ready. Okay. All right.
That was good. It's better than mine.
It's better than Mike.
Oh my God, that wasn't as great as I imagined it would be.
I know, it's a hard game.
It always seems like it's going to be easy and then it doesn't come out quite right.
Right. It didn't come out the way I wanted it to, but that's okay. That was it.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
All right.
Your turn.
Yeah, that's a very difficult one.
And we couldn't hear you that well either because it's just, these microphones mess up, man. That's the problem with this.
Yeah, I only heard the first part of yours, Steve.
Yeah, and then the second part was like really quiet.
I think maybe I overwhelmed the microphone or something.
Yeah, something like that. This game, we gotta
That wasn't too bad.
Thank you. I mean, we could barely hear it. It sounded like.
Yeah, yeah. I think he did that on purpose.
I tried to say, so do it very quietly. Like,
oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah.
You got me.
I think we were all not great.
Pretty horrible, actually.
Got to get the mayor back on here. You got to save that one for the mayor. I want to hear the mayor do that one.
I wonder if he would try to whistle it.
Yeah, he would whistle it and like do it perfect again. He whistled the last one in today.
Oh, really?
It's completely unexpected. Like out of the blue, he pulled off a whistling move.
Oh, wow.
Genius. That's why he's the mayor.
It was so, yeah, politically savvy. It was just like, it's like he was in a debate. He didn't lose his cool at all. He just like, but.
Anyway. We thought we were going to embarrass him. Like, we're going to get the mayor on and make him make the sound with your mouth only. But he was completely unfazed.
Wow. That's impressive, actually.
Didn't show any sign of being uncomfortable with it or anything. He's like, okay, all right. And he whistled.
Wow.
That's why he's been there.
I want to hear that.
Go to mikeandsteve.com.
It's there.
That's why he's been the mayor for 6 terms in a row or however many. He's been
awesome.
Anyway,
all
thanks.
That's all it takes. Wow.
Yeah. Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh my gosh, you guys. It was so great talking to you.
Likewise. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Thanks for staying up late and doing this. And it was a great interview and inspiration. So thanks.
Well, thanks, guys. All right.
Look forward to seeing what your next move is.
Right, I know. I'm taking a break from competing for a long while. So who knows?
Something else amazing.
Right. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. As long as it brings me joy, I'm all in. So
awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Steve. Steve, you can stop.
Mike and Steve is a production of Mike and Steve LLC and was produced by Mike Carson and Steve Henry with generous assistance from Tracy Marzich. You can find Mike and Steve at mikeandsteve.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also leave comments, questions, or messages to include in future episodes at our voicemail box at 330-731-1335. Once again, that number is 330-731-1335. Thanks for listening and have a great week.